Liron Hirschkorn here, your host of the E-Commerce Mindset Podcast. In this interview with Tom Meek of Avask, we talk about the upcoming changes to how VAT, the European version of sales tax, value-added tax. We talk about the changes happening because of Brexit and because of some new Amazon policies that are happening in 2021. If you sell in Europe or are looking to sell into Europe with FBA, you'll want to listen to this episode and learn what those changes are and how they affect selling in Europe. The podcast is sponsored by IncrementumDigital.com. The link is in the show notes. Incrementum Digital is our agency where we help you grow your sales on Amazon using the power of Amazon advertising as well as DSP. We're also now fully managing a handful of brands on Amazon, helping them with their entire marketing strategy and implementation as we help change the creative, organic rank, advertising, and bring all the pieces together to grow their sales on Amazon. I'm also part of a group that is acquiring brands. If you're looking to exit your brand, you can email me, Liron@IncrementumDigital.com. The email is in the show notes. And lastly, if you are looking for financing growth capital for your business, I'm working with an innovative company that offers just-in-time capital for your business. Over the last 3 months or so, I've been able to help sellers get millions of dollars in reasonable financing for their business. You can reach out to me via email if you want to discuss that as well. And enjoy this episode with Tom Meek of Avask. Okay, so welcome to the show. Today we have with us Thomas Meek. Thomas, or Tom Meek, is International Business Development Manager with Avask, which is an accounting and business consulting firm that is also well known for their capabilities in terms of managing and handling VAT and the whole world of VAT as it applies to e-commerce and Amazon sellers. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Liron. It's great to be on here. And yeah, obviously really keen to go into the details of the changes that are coming into play and obviously expanding on who we are and what we do. So thanks for having me on.
Excellent. Great. So let's, I guess, dive into it. One of the reasons why, I wanted to have this this podcast is because there are changes that are happening both that I've seen both with how Amazon handles VAT in Europe and also particularly changes because of Brexit and some things that are going into or starting to change starting with January of 2021. So I guess what are some of the main things? Let's talk about if you're already selling in Europe, what are some of the main changes that you will experience as a result of Brexit?
Yeah, of course. So obviously Brexit, firstly, obviously we've been going through Brexit for now 4 years, do you believe it? So it's been an incredibly slow process, obviously monumental in where that leaves us going forward with regards to how taxation works and obviously a whole host of trade deals and requirements that go alongside Brexit. And ultimately, just to take a step back on Brexit, we've been going through the transition period from the 31st of January 2020 right the way through to the end of this year. So we're literally in the last couple of weeks where we've got a potential chance of actually having any sort of deal. But I know that generally speaking, we're all guiding on a hard Brexit, which obviously means that there'll be no deal in place between the UK and the EU. So with Brexit, the UK will be a third country and there'll be a new customs border between the UK and EU and, of course, vice versa. So we're going to be diving into, what the key changes are, what it means for you as a seller. I presume that most people that are going to be listening to this, Liron, are going to be Amazon sellers. Is that right?
Yep, Amazon sellers, and I would say the majority are based in the US.
Awesome. Okay. My favorite conversations are with the US, of course. And of course, there's going to be a lot of people that have started trading and haven't started trading. So we're going to try and cover a lot of the different examples. But if you're listening to this and you're thinking Brexit scaring me off, I don't blame you. However, we're one of the providers here that are obviously going to be able to help you guide through that and understand what the key complications are, what the changes are. And actually, yes, there are some changes to get your head round, but a lot of the processes are becoming much, much easier. So there's less for you to worry about. But that initial first step is extremely important. Okay. So you mentioned sort of what the key changes are. Now, there are quite a few different changes coming into place with regards to the 1st of January and what that means for, marketplaces potentially collecting and remitting taxes. But the main part that I want to focus on just to start off with is the new customs border. So as in the EU, 28 countries, now minus the UK, so 27 countries. And as you can imagine, some a line between the EU and the UK. The UK as an island is separated, which means that there'll be a new customs border in between the UK and the EU. Okay, so that being said, there's a huge amount of, well, not a huge amount, but there are additional requirements when you sell across the border, as there would be from going from, let's say, the USA into the UK or the USA into Europe, B2C. Okay, so I think that the first aspect that I wanted to touch on is that new customs border and what the new requirements are and how sellers can combat that. Is it fair to say that a lot of sellers are going to be using Amazon FBA?
Yes.
Awesome. So with that in mind, I'm sure everyone's fairly familiar with the three main FBA programs that are available, which are the EFN, MCI and Pan-European. Okay, so EFN, European Fulfillment, which is typically where you have your product stored in the one country versus most people then jump to the Pan-European program where you have your product circulating around all of the different countries that are obviously part of the Pan-EU program, and Amazon take care of that. Okay, so I think, do you want me to just explain what the implications of Brexit are on those programs to start off with?
So the EFN is, you mentioned, is European Fulfillment Network. The products are stored in one country. So I know a lot of sellers have had their products stored like in UK, and then out of the UK, they ship to the other four countries that are, if they're not doing pan-European, right? Italy, Spain, France, and Germany.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I would say it's fair to say that the majority of sellers this year and previous years have used the UK as a gateway into Europe because it's very, it's got a great port. It's got much quicker clearance requirements and a whole host of other reasons, including like VAT registration is quick, EORI and so on. So that was used as the gateway into Europe. But obviously, with the UK leaving the EU, that means that there's going to be a new border between both aspects there. So a lot of sellers that I'm speaking to on a daily basis, and I'm sure a lot of you listening to me now are thinking I'm in this situation, is that you're using the UK to then feed the rest of the EU, and you might just have a VAT number in the UK under the European Fulfillment Programme, or you're feeding the UK warehouse and then Amazon are then redistributing your product across Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Poland and Czech Republic, which are the core pan-European countries. Is that fair to say, Leon?
Yes.
Fantastic. So with that said, the advice with the new customs border in place is that you will need to have your stock split across the UK and EU, because the UK is now a third country. There is no free movement of goods between the UK and EU, which means that you're going to need to have a VAT number in the UK, which I'm sure most people listening now do have that UK VAT number. And you're also going to need a EU VAT number to make sure that you can have your goods stored there and stay compliant. Okay.
Got it. So right now, if you just have a UK VAT, you're going to need to get a EU VAT and store products in the UK and then in one of the other countries, which I know Germany is a good option just because it's a good market.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's a good point there, that in terms of like, well, which country do you actually move to? So I think typically if we carry on with the example, if you're on the EFN, European Fulfillment Network, which a huge majority of you will probably be on, then you're probably going to have your goods stored in the UK. You're going to have your UK VAT number. And what you were able to do is make the most of the distance selling thresholds, which I would say, if you're familiar with sales tax, is very similar to like that economic nexus where you sell from one state to another. In the EU, it's obviously that one country to another. And there's a sales thresholds in place. And if you breach that, you're going to have to register. But that was the beauty of registering in the UK, having your stock there and being able to sell direct to consumer from the UK FC right the way into Germany, France, Italy, Spain, up to a certain amount. Unfortunately, that FBA process of being able to ship cross-border direct to your consumers is now not possible coming due to Brexit and due to the end of the year. That will then stop. So it's really, really important that sellers will then have to think about, well, I don't want to cut off the whole of the EU and only service the UK. So the way around that is to have your VAT number in the EU, split your inventory, make sure that you have your shipping provider that you've spoken to that's able to ship your products direct to the EU and also to the UK, and obviously making sure that you have enough inventory to be able to cater for both markets. Does that make sense?
Yep. So the idea is you'll have stock in the UK, then you may have stock in Germany, and then out of Germany, you can potentially fulfill into Italy, Spain, France.
Exactly. The whole distance selling threshold aspect of selling from one country into another is a European concept. So where the UK is now no longer part of the EU, and you won't be able to distance sell from the UK into Germany and so on under the same rules. But if you put your products into, let's say, any country, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, whatever it might be, most people are going to choose Germany. But at that point, you still then can benefit from the distance selling thresholds and sell into, let's say, France, up to 35,000 euros in one calendar year. Same for Italy and same for Spain.
Got it. And when you say sale thresholds, means you don't need a separate VAT number in that
exactly
country.
Yeah, so the beauty of actually the different marketplaces that are available, again, we'll compare it to amazon.com. when you sell on amazon.com, you've got one like marketplace, if you like, but obviously 50 odd states that actually will be able to sell to in like 30 odd FBA states. Well, the EU works slightly different in the fact that yes, it's a territory, but it has a number of different marketplaces, as we've been talking, like the different storefronts on Amazon. You've got Germany, France, Italy, Spain. You've got Sweden, you've got the Netherlands. But the beauty is if you sell on one of those storefronts or marketplaces, however you want to call it, it doesn't mean that you necessarily need a VAT number in that country if you're listing your products through that platform. Okay. If you have your product stored there, you will need a VAT number. If you break the distance selling threshold, as in that sales threshold between one country and another, if you breach that, you will need to register for VAT. But before those aspects, if you're just storing in Germany and you're distance selling on, you know, through to Amazon.fr, Amazon.it, whatever it might be, under the threshold, then you only need to be registered in Germany. So it's a real benefit of selling in the EU, is you can almost like do it in stages. You can dip your toe in the water with Germany, sell into the other countries, and then as you expand and as your products become more visible and you want to, you know, keep going and build your brand up and obviously increase your sales, that's when sellers will then start to register in more countries because they want to bring their products closer to their buyers, which will ultimately mean that they need an additional VAT number for where their products are held.
Got it. Now, the other change that I saw that's happening in the UK, and I don't know if this is sort of across the board in Europe, but maybe we could talk to, is that I saw in certain cases, it seems like Amazon will be the one that will actually be collecting and remitting VAT versus the seller have to.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in terms of sort of the new requirements from the 1st of January, OMP, so online marketplaces, are going to be responsible for collecting the VAT. Again, very similar to sort of the laws on the Nexus side on the marketplace facilitator, if that's more relevant. Mm-hmm.
In the US.
In the USA, exactly. So similar sort of process being set up here in the UK as well. But ultimately, if you're based in the USA, as I'm sure a lot of you are, and you're looking to start selling into the UK, it will depend on a couple of different things. Okay, so I'll talk through the very briefly the two scenarios, and then I'm sure you can go through any questions that, from a seller's point of view. Let's say, is it fair to say that the majority of sellers are going to be registered already in the UK and they're going to be sending their products, let's say, from China direct to an FBA warehouse in the UK? Yeah. So in which case, the same process will work, that if you're bringing shipments in and you're feeding the UK FBA center, then you're still going to have to pay those duties and import VAT as you come in through customs. That won't change. Okay. When you then have your products stored in the UK and you're based outside, i.e. from the USA, then Amazon as an online marketplace will be the deemed supplier. So they'll be responsible for collecting and remitting that 20% on the sale on behalf of you as the seller, which probably means, okay, you're thinking, well, that's great. I don't need a tax provider now, or I don't need to be registered because Amazon are doing it for me. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Because you, one, still need to register for VAT because you still got your product stored there. And number two, it means that the declarations of your sales still need to be made through your VAT return, which we will, or someone like Avask would be able to do for you.
Got it. So, okay. So just to break that down, Amazon is the one that is collecting and remitting. So when I file my VAT return, I'm not actually remitting that VAT. I didn't collect it. I'm not remitting it. I'm just filing a return with the numbers, or what am I actually doing now?
Yes, it's a good question. So in terms of where that leaves sellers, I mean, Amazon are going to be reporting the sales only if it's a marketplace facilitated sale, not if you're selling on your own website, for example. So that would differ, and we'd still need to calculate that.
Right.
But if it's going, let's say, keep it simple, through Amazon, then Amazon will be collecting that 20% on the sale, like they do in the USA. And then ultimately, they would then remit that to the HMRC on a quarterly basis, whenever they're required to submit that. And then the aside from our, so the declaration would still be made from the seller's point of view. We would calculate the sales and work out what that would be as a filing. Once that's then submitted, obviously then payment is due, but payment's already been made by the tax office, by Amazon, rather, as the online marketplace. So you wouldn't need to then pay the VAT that's already been taken from Amazon, okay? Now, just to go a little step further than that, you're probably thinking, well, what happens to all of my import VAT that I've paid? Because just to take an even bigger step back, obviously, as you bring in your products, let's say from China into the UK, you're going to need to clear your goods at customs. And to do so, there's import duty and import VAT payable. Duties, unfortunately, are not reclaimable, but import VAT is reclaimable if you're VAT registered. So as you then bring your products into the UK, into an Amazon FBA center, Amazon are going to remit the sales VAT. And then what we're going to do when we obviously file your VAT return, we'll then still be able to reclaim the import VAT.
Got it. And does any of this change if you're also just storing inventory in a UK third party warehouse and feeding FBA? I'm assuming it doesn't change if you're still fulfilling through FBA, but also utilizing like a third
party
warehouse.
Really depends whether the marketplace will be the deemed supplier. I mean, if you're going to be feeding an FBA center, then yes, Amazon as a marketplace will be the deemed supplier in that situation.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. And does this apply in? Will this apply in Germany also if you are now also storing inventory there? Is that the same law now?
Just for the UK at the moment. In terms of whether OMPs will be taking over in the EU as well is something that we're waiting to find out more information for. But for the foreseeable, there's changes in July 1st, which are going to really speed up the process of actually declaring VAT in the EU, which I'm sure we're going to come on to a bit later on anyway.
Got it. So from your product pricing perspective, in Germany, for example, you need to add that 20% into your price, essentially, versus UK, where Amazon will add that 20% on, you know, when the buyers.
Yeah, like, it's a really good point that you've raised there, actually, because so you'll still mark up your product by the 20%, but Amazon will then deduct that 20% as part of the return.
Got it. Okay, so your pricing strategy will still include in whether it's UK or Germany, will still include that 20%.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like, if I was sat here thinking that, you know, what how does this affect me? I'd be thinking, well, just because Amazon are collecting and remitting the VAT, it means that, you know, on those OMP sales, it means that I, you know, don't actually need to pay the VAT because Amazon are going to be collecting that out of my Amazon account anyway. And I still need to register for VAT, and I still need to make declarations of my sales. So really, not a huge amount has changed. Now, there are other schemes as well, which is about the import VAT deferment, which is a new UK scheme. Unfortunately, the low consignment relief of goods under £35 have been, under £15, I think it is, have been removed. But the new rule, as from the 1st of January, is that the import VAT can be deferred up to 6 months. So in terms of like the cash flow element, that's really going to help sellers to be able to you know, obviously plan for that and have more money for stock and other things as well.
Got it. Okay. So let's kind of jump to somebody who is currently not in Europe. They're selling in the US, and they, you know, I saw recently that there are now 7,500, I think, sellers across Europe that are selling, you know, $1 million a year or more. So the numbers and the sales are growing in Europe. So for those sellers that are, they've been in the US historically, they've never ventured into, you know, kind of Europe or any other marketplace. What's the process essentially of getting started with selling in Europe, with applying for VAT, with what's the process from somebody who says, okay, 2021 is the year that I want to go into Europe? What is that process like, what they need to do in order to get set up there?
So obviously Europe being separate to the UK, it's going to be different process. So I mean, UK is obviously the largest market, followed very closely by Germany. A lot of people say that they have very similar benefits in terms of visibility and general revenue put through both marketplaces. But in terms of like steps, I would say that it really depends on whether you're wanting to sell both in the UK and EU. I would say it's absolutely essential for sellers, even when they launch, to be selling in both the UK and EU market. So my recommendation would be to have VAT numbers set up in the UK and also a country in the EU, which we can come on to in a second. And you're also going to need to have an EORI number, which is that number that allows you to clear your goods at customs. So we will be able to set that up for you as well. Otherwise, your goods won't be able to be cleared for that. And then you have shipments going to the UK. The UK would cater for the UK only. And then the EU, depending on the country that you register through, you'd then be able to obviously then distance sell into the other country. So that would be like, that'd be like stage one of a smaller seller looking to expand into the UK and EU. Does that make sense? Awesome.
Yeah.
So then if you've got a slightly larger seller in Amazon.com that's selling, you know, multi-billions, and they're looking to launch in Europe in the best way, then definitely the rule still stands on the UK. Get your VAT number in the UK and also your EORI number so you can clear your goods at customs. So that's the UK market catered for. Then with regards to Europe, I would then have the Pan-European program activated. And the Pan-EU, let's say you send your product into Germany, then what Amazon will do is they'll say, okay, great, you're selling this product. Let's see where we think your products are placed best. And then they'll calculate, you know, where or what the anticipated demand would be in, let's say, France, Italy, Spain, and so on. And then what they'll do is they'll be responsible for actually then passing your products from country to country to make sure that your product's staying in line with the demand. And ultimately what that means for you is that your product's going to be much closer to your buyers, giving them sort of prime eligibility, obviously equaling quicker shipping, and a whole host of other benefits as well. And that's really how sellers can really promote their growth in the EU, which is always comes down to how close your products to your buyers, are they prime eligible, because that will naturally increase your visibility, as I'm sure you've experienced yourself, Laura.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, got it. So starting out, you would go into UK, EU. If you're a bigger seller already, you might want to just consider going into the pan-European program. And essentially, that is sort of as part of your kind of selection within Amazon and opening up that European account, whether you go into just sort of the, you know, fulfillment within these UK and then the four kind of countries, you know, or whether you go into the pan-European program and expand out into having inventory across a variety of countries in Europe. And then in that case, you need to file VAT essentially in those countries. Because
that's exactly right. Yeah. So it's sort of an investment, I would say, that when you go onto the pan-European program, for example, where your products are going to be stored in each of the different locations or countries, it means that as soon as you have your product stored there, you're going to need to register for VAT. Okay. But obviously the benefit then is that your products are stored in that country. You'll benefit from like lower FBA fees. So there'll be no cross-border sales because your products will already be in the right country. And also that shipping element will be much, much quicker, equaling more reviews. I mean, the amount of people that in the UK and the EU that, you know, require or would like to see that Prime badge up and actually filter by Prime as well. If your products are all in Germany and you've got a Spanish buyer looking at Amazon.es, which you're listed on, but your products are based in Germany, then, you know, they're not, can't always guarantee that speed of shipping, which means that you might not be Prime eligible, which means you ultimately miss out on sales. So that's the sort of the very generic way of looking at why sellers would ever want to continue to spread inventory. And ultimately, as you grow and you start breaching thresholds, you're going to need to register at some point anyway. So sellers that are doing very well in the US, you know, what's very well, if they're turning over millions and they're wanting to launch to Amazon.co.uk and Amazon EU, then the chances are that a lot of them may break those thresholds or breach those thresholds quite quickly. So start the registration process now, because some of them take 2, 3, even 4 months in some situations.
Right. Okay, got it. Now, Amazon has in the past had certain programs where they would work with you, or they'd work with certain companies, and they would actually incentivize sellers by paying sort of the costs of, you know, if you wanted to go into the Pan-EU program, they would pay for the cost of filing. Are they still offering any programs for sellers to kind of give them, to try to get them to get into Pan-Europe, or any current offerings of helping sellers with?
There was the Pan-European promotion, as you remember, that has now ended, unfortunately, from July this year. But there are other promotions out there. I mean, obviously, we are a third party to Amazon. We are obviously a Vask Accounting, which is a firm which obviously assists thousands of sellers with regards to their registration and compliance services. We offer a very high level consultancy. And that's really like that handheld element, as you've experienced, which really helps sellers launch and understand, you know, how to really get into the markets and understanding the tax compliance from day one. So that's sort of where we sit. There are other promotions that Amazon run through Amazon VAT services as well, which is always another consideration. That's more of a software-based solution. But, you know, we've only just touched the sides on what's going to be changing next year, really, especially sort of July onwards. Yes, it aren't huge changes with regards to what it means to you as a seller, but it's certainly things that you need to stay on top of, which is why having an accountant like ourselves to manage that for you to give you peace of mind and so on is really, really important. But in answer to your questions, yes, there are some different promotions on with Amazon directly, but that's more of a software-based solution.
Got it. Okay. And you mentioned that there are additional changes that are going to be happening starting in the summer.
Yeah. So just before. Yeah. So I can go on to that one now. So in July, there's something called the OSS, which is called the One Stop Shop. Okay. Now we in the UK are really going for that from the 1st of January. That's sort of leading to a lot of the changes of what I've explained already. Now, with regards to what the one-stop shop is in the Europe, that's slightly different, because what it means is that the OSS, a one-stop shop, that we're trying to do by creating this program through initiative is that we're trying to close the VAT gap, and we're trying to make it as easy for sellers to pay their VAT as possible. Okay, so good news for you as a seller. Now, what that means is that when we say one-stop shop, it means that sellers are going to need to pay their VAT through one country. So if you're going to be, let's say I picked Germany as my country that I'm going to be filing my VAT through, so my one-stop shop, I would then be selling, let's say, on the Pan-European program, but all of my VAT would be sent or accounted for through the German platform. And then Germany would then be responsible, the tax office would be responsible for actually then redistributing that tax according to where the VAT is due. And there's some slight differences with regards to what that looks like and the landscape there, because the VAT will be calculated on the country of arrival, whereas currently we're calculating on the country of departure. So that's quite a major change. But again, that's not something that you need to worry about necessarily, because you're going to be filing that through that one country. Now, you're probably thinking now, okay, well, if I'm filing it all through one country, do I need to register for VAT in all the other countries? Unfortunately, yes, you do. You will still need to be VAT registered, because wherever your stock is held, you will need a VAT number, and you'll need to declare sales regardless of obviously where you're going to be actually paying the VAT. Okay, so that's a really, really important point.
Got it. Now, in sort of as a general question, is there a particular, points where you see where it makes sense for sellers, or when is the right time, let's say, for somebody, okay, they're selling in the US, when is the right time for them to move to Europe? And then when is the right time to move from sort of Europe to pan-European? Do you see certain sort of numbers or thresholds, or is it really mostly about how well capitalized somebody is and maybe the size of their team? And
yeah, so a whole host of reasons, and the ones you just picked out there are sort of the most common. I think, you know, when is the right time to expand? Who knows? You know, there is no sort of definite answer of when you hit this number of sales in the US, you need to expand to Europe. I would say that the UK and the EU opportunity is absolutely huge. Population of 750 odd million, and you know, e-commerce growing extremely quickly. Obviously, with COVID, we've seen that everyone, whether they like it or not, has had to embrace the internet and sort of just generally buying online as a go-to as opposed to going out. And I think to exploit that market is so important. I think that in terms of, back to your question, which is more around, when to expand. Well, I would say that to dip your toe in the water and look at registering in the UK and Germany, or one or the other, if you really can't afford to do the other option, I would say that you're going to be wanting to turn over at least sort of $250,000-$300,000 in the US as a minimum before you start looking at expanding. That's sort of the minimum size. I'd say the majority of sellers that I speak to are at least turning over sort of around the $500,000 mark. And that just generally seems to be more around whether they have the capacity to take on a new market. There's a lot of research, translations, there's different payments, the currencies that you're dealing with, the shipping aspects, the duties. There's, there is a tick list that you need to go through. Yes, there's a lot of providers that can help you get from A to B in a very strategic and efficient way, but there's a lot to take into consideration. So I would say around that 500,000 threshold would be when a lot of sellers start looking at the UK and EU. And then sellers that are turning over, you know, a couple of million upwards would then be thinking about jumping into the Pan-European program. But that really can differ. That's just a general ballpark.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. I think sometimes you have to, if you have a, you know, I think the best signal is if you have a very successful product in the US, then, you know, I think it's worth taking some bandwidth and trying to go into other markets. I think the big consideration, I guess, for sellers is, you know, do I spend my focus just launching more and more products in the US, or do I expand? But again, I think if you have a very successful product and then you can link it and then you get the benefit of all the reviews that you've built up in one market transferring over, then you can come into that market with a built-in advantage from the reviews that you've built up in the, let's say in the US market, for example. Okay, excellent. So how do sellers, reach out, or, you know, if you want to, you know, sort of have a consultation on either your current European situation, expanding into Pan-European, or even just getting started in Europe, what's the best way to reach out to Avasp to
sellers can reach us through reach myself if they would like to. It's tom.meek@avaskgroup. That's tom.meek@avaskgroup.com. Or they can reach out through expansion@avaskgroup.com, which is our generic inquiries, and people can then have a free consultation with us. And I'd really tempt you to book it in. There's a huge amount of advice and expertise that you can get from, you know, even myself or the team, and we can really talk you through, you know, looking at your situation. Is now the right time to expand? Is your product line the right, you know, line to actually expand into the EU? What would that actually dictate as a in terms of like your favorability in each market? It might be better launched in the UK or, you know, Spain, for example. Is it seasonal? We can try and give you an idea for all of those aspects. We can then go through planning. Is it now? Is it 3 months' time? Is it 9 months' time? Is it next year? We're always happy to have that conversation with people. So making sure that you have the right tax provider is absolutely essential. And I would really, really make sure that you have done your checks with regards to product compliance, label compliance, looking at your competition, looking at, you know, the margins with the duties that are payable, and making sure that overall that you've done all your research before expanding and really jump in with 2 feet instead of half-heartedly.
Yeah, absolutely. The last time I interacted with Avasp was actually pretty unbelievable. Not in terms of my tax situation, but I was last year in right around this time, actually in November, Alibaba actually had me come speak to them, to some of their suppliers. They were having a conference, and this was in Xiamen, China. And apparently Avasp has offices and people all over the world, I guess, including China. And Melanie from your team actually set me up where I think somebody from your team actually met up with me that day, and we actually went out to dinner. But I was traveling there myself, and so it was nice to have a friendly, you know, sort of somebody from a company that I knew that that actually kind of picked me up there and helped me out a little bit when I was when I was flying to China for, you know, like literally like 20, yeah, I was there for like 20 hours. Mainly for this trip, and was going myself, and it was nice to be connected with Avasp there, and your team took me out there, and it was really nice. So I guess Avasp in general, the company kind of operates and has offices.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we've got throughout the world around 14 offices now, based all over Europe, USA, China, Australia, the UAE, the list goes on. We're well positioned to help anyone. We speak over 20 languages within the team. Always want to be able to assist any seller at any stage with regards to their expansion objectives, whether it's in the UK or EU or any Amazon marketplace. Feel free to reach out.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tom, for coming on. I think this was really helpful to learn about some of the changes that are upcoming and how The process is currently working between both UK and EU. So
thank you very much, Laurent. It was good to be a part of it. And looking forward to connecting soon, I'm sure.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. I will see you on the next episode of the E-commerce Mindset Podcast.